I just recorded this, but it wasn't recording. So let's start this again. Boop. Some mental hearth. Wow. Boop. Some mental health and art stuff, plus some clarity in my overall goal as an artist. Listen while you're arting. Welcome to the J Primecast. This is episode 37. And it recorded that time. There we go. So welcome to the J Primecast. Again, that is Benjo Beats. Please seek him out on SoundCloud. Check the link in the description. My beard needs a trim. It's very uneven. I'm looking at my screen recording right now. Not screen recording, but my QuickTime recording. For those on YouTube, you can see it's time. Alright, so let's start off with the follower of the week. This week it is I_CarnageFN. Been a tremendous follower, lots and lots of interaction, DM and otherwise. So I appreciate you, iCarnage. Thank you, man. I appreciate you. But I'm going to jump way ahead. Usually at the end of the, toward the end of the episode, I do kind words, comments, or critiques. But I'm going to do that right now because there was some kind words from iCarnage that he dropped today, actually. Oh man, but there's another account named Symbiotic Venom. Yeah, I know I mentioned that account a couple times in the recent past as well. Symbiotic Venom posted an old Venom sketch of mine that was embarrassing to see, but if people like it, cool. And they basically hyped up me and as an artist. That was really, really, really cool. And the question was, who's not following this guy or something like that, right? And in the comments, I see iCarnageFN, and he said, everyone should follow him. He's amazing. So that was just super cool. It was kind words that weren't directed at me, but they were just kind of out there on the Instagram, and I stumbled upon them. So that was super nice just to see someone speaking nicely of me. When nobody else was watching, you know, when there was nothing to get out of it, it was just because. That was really, really cool. And makes iCarnageFN doubly the follower of the week. This might be the first time that the follower of the week had also the kind word, comment, or critique. I'm not sure. So I know you're wondering, Prime, my friend, possibly father figure, how can I support the J Primecast? Well, it's as easy as screenshotting your phone right now. And then posting it to Instagram stories. That's a lot. There's a good number of people that are doing that, and I'm so appreciative of you if you're that person or those people. It's that is like central to the growth that I'm seeing right now in the podcast. Things are getting up there as far as stats wise. It might not sound like a lot, but I'm at almost 100 listens or downloads per week. Or I'm sorry, per episode. That's the average. But I'm noticing that every week that the amount of listeners is that I'm doing more within a week. Like I'm basically, I mean, things are growing. Things are growing, and I've had a nice little jump this past week. So 100 listeners per week. I'm sorry, damn it. 100 listeners per episode on average. That's nothing to sneeze at, you know? And it's based entirely on you guys. Not entirely. I'm doing a pretty good amount of work too. But a lot of that is because you guys are helping spread the word and just doing the screenshot and sharing it on your Instagram story. So it helps me out. Hopefully you feel good doing it. But it also, just doing that is something for you to post. It's content. And if you really wanted to go the extra mile, you could even type in something that you get out of today that you can share with your followers, so there's more content. And I think today there's going to be a lot to get out of here. I have a really interesting, very, very interesting Instagram tip for you that I dropped in stories, I think this past week, maybe 2 weeks ago. But you're not going to hear it anywhere else. I'm getting pretty good at this stuff. But anyhow, so there's a couple things I wanted to talk about today. I mean, I've mentioned many times about combining mental health and the whole art thing, and not knowing how to do it, and then kind of letting that go. And I've been really, really back and forth with this for quite a while, but this past week, it's really kind of out of curiosity. Not exactly curiosity, but I was just wondering, out of the people who are going to my stories, and I place more emphasis on my stories people, especially my podcast stories people. Oh, this past week was cool. I did, you know what? I'll talk about it later on during my weekly check-in, but I don't have it in my outline, so I got it added in right now, so I don't forget. Cool, got it. All right, so the mental health thing, it is such a big part of my life and takes up much more of my day than drawing does, so it makes sense to incorporate that more into what I'm doing with art. I've just never seen a clear path on how to do that, unless I just did both things through the same Instagram or website simultaneously. But I think that I'm through this, through the podcast, I'm talking to a niche, a very specific group of people, which is independent artists. And I don't know. I don't want to betray that, because we've you and I, listener, dear listener, have aligned on that level, so I don't want to betray that, But this week I was just kind of wondering how the mental health of my stories people were doing. So I asked a few three questions. One of them, and the question was a little bit, I didn't I wanted what I asked was, is depression interfering or affecting your art? I think it was something like that. But the point is, the question wasn't, are you depressed, or have you been diagnosed with depression or whatever, and anxiety and then trauma. So the question wasn't flat out, is this something that you're dealing with, struggling with, recovering from, or doing fine? I don't know. It was, is it affecting your art? And that can mean a lot of things. So I think to, of course, take these stats out of my small sample size with a grain of salt, or two or three, but I still was intrigued or interested by these results. So the first one was about depression. Is it affecting your art? And 17% of people said yes. I'm sorry, 17% of the people that saw the story. So everyone that saw the story, not everyone that saw it, answered yes or no. So of the people who saw it, I'm sorry, yeah, of the people who saw it, 17% of them answered yes. So there could be more yeses. And I wouldn't doubt it. There could be more yeses, but 17% of those people said that basically they have, I don't, they don't have depression. They are depressed because it's not a thing, you don't have it exactly. But they are depressed, or they would diagnose themselves with depression. And they think it affects their art. So there could have been people that said, well, actually there were people that said no. So those people that said no may have meant, I don't know, I'm not depressed, or they may have meant, yeah, I am depressed, but it's not affecting my art. So, I mean, I don't know. The question was misleading or unclear, so that's on me. But 17% of the people who responded, 17%, I'm sorry, 17% of the people who saw it said depression is a factor in their art, or a problem, or I forgot my exact wording, but is an obstacle or whatever. Yeah, you know what? Darn it, now I gotta look it up while I'm doing the damn thing. So I thought that was very interesting. 17%, that's a pretty high number. And it's, again, yeah, I know it's a very small sample size, but 17% is a pretty good chunk, I think. And I can't find the questions. Gosh darn it. Oh, I'll check the repost, not the repost, but when I shared it, the results. All right, do you feel that depression is impacting your art? Of the people who answered, it was 57%. Of the people, of everyone who saw it, was 17%. So pretty much ignore that 57. I don't know why I read that off. So 17% of the people who saw it said yes, that depression is impacting their art. And that could be good, that could be bad. It doesn't mean a whole lot. So I just want to put that out there. The next question is, do you feel that anxiety is impacting your art? Nearly 25%, nearly a quarter of the people who saw this, and it was about 250. My story's views have been down recently, just probably due to actually that was the result from the week that I took off. I had about 250 people that were going to stories, even though I wasn't posting a feed. And this week in my feed, I didn't post a whole lot, but yeah, I'm back to that 250. So almost a quarter, 23, it was 23%, but almost 25% is what I'm just rounding up a little bit, of the people that saw this question say yes, that anxiety is impacting their art. Could be, you know, for better or worse, I don't know. And I'm willing to bet that it's more than that, that people ignored it or whatever. But there were people that said, no, it's not impacting. So there could be people that have anxiety and it's not impacting their art. So again, the question is just bad. I know. Shut up. So almost a quarter of the people believe that, yes, they feel that anxiety is impacting their art. And the only thing I will say about this, and I'm not, this is just me kind of musing here, is I think there's a difference between insecurity and anxiety. And I do wonder, no one told me otherwise. I had a DM with someone that, where I said, it sounds like what you're talking about is more about insecurity, not anxiety. But insecurity and anxiety both rely on negative assumptions about what's happening or negative expectations. So I'm going to do bad, or when I post this, people will make fun of me. That's anxiety. But I think I'm not good enough. That's an insecurity that would hinder or be an obstacle toward you moving forward. I think anxiety is more of like a dread or a fear of, or a nervousness or a worry about the future or about the unknown. So I think they're a little bit different. I think there's a lot of overlap. I would think that the insecurity could be more of a symptom of depression. I don't like the word symptom, but I'll say it. So, you know, for yourself, insecurity versus anxiety, where are you at? So trauma is the third question. And it is a prior trauma impacting your art? 9% of the people that saw this said yes. So let's break this down a little bit more. Is a prior trauma impacting your art? So 28% of the people who responded said yes. 72% of the people who responded said no. But again, the wording is bad. So 72% of the people who responded, though, that 72% might be saying, I've never had a trauma. Or they might be saying, I was traumatized, but it's not impacting my art. So I don't know. But what is significant is that 28% of the people who responded said yes. That's a quarter, over a quarter. But 9%, so that this translates to 9% of the people that saw this question, not everyone responded to it, right? But 9% of the people who saw this question said yes, that prior trauma is impacting their art. Could be for better or worse. I don't know. That's almost 1 out of 10. That's almost 1 out of 10 people that saw that question that had survived or are surviving, I don't know, a trauma. And that could be many things. Trauma means something to me as a therapist. I think it means different things to everyday folks that aren't therapists. So again, I know the question wasn't the best, but to me, it's significant that 1 out of 10, nearly 1 out of 10 people that were exposed to that question felt like that trauma is impacting their art for good or bad. I don't know. And I'm totally willing to bet that it's more than that. Trauma, especially in the area where I live, is we are absolutely saturated in horrible things happening to kids in particular. Well, adults also, but I work with kids mostly, so horrible, horrible things happening to kids. So that's just this area though. So that's different. This area of the world is pretty bad. All right, so what do we do with information? What I want you guys to start thinking of is your emotional state is fuel for your art. It's not about depression and anxiety and trauma, although those are absolutely what I'm talking about as well. But even happiness, these are fuel for your art. I want you to be aware of when you draw, that you draw from what you feel. People ask about how do I find my style. It has to come from within you. And you cannot get more within you than how you feel. Like that is uniquely you, your thoughts and your feelings. You know what I mean? So your emotions, your feelings, your history, your pain, or your happiness and your excitement, these are fuel for art, for creativity. These are fuel for creativity. And really draw from what you feel. So I don't necessarily literally mean to like draw your emotion, to draw depression or to draw happiness, but I mean to draw the emotion. So one thing could be to draw the emotion and what it might look like. Another idea could be to use the emotion to influence your style. So for me, I'm a little bit more on the anxious side. I wouldn't say I have an anxiety disorder at all. But I'm pretty high, you know, things are pretty, I'm pretty wound up, I guess, you know, more or less. So I'm more on if it was like a scale or a spectrum, I'm more on the anxiety side. Nothing that's debilitating whatsoever. But I use that. I like to draw pretty fast. I like to put a lot of speed, a lot of energy into my artwork. And that matches how I feel inside, though. And it doesn't matter if we call it anxiety or not. But the point is, inside I feel that intensity, and when I draw it, I feel that way as well. I mean, that's what I try to express for the most part with energy and, you know, sweeping motions with even the way I draw with my hand and my arm, my shoulder. I really try to put that energy into what I do because that's how I feel inside. But also, since I am a little bit more on the anxious side, control is a big deal to me. I like to have control. I like this podcast is all mine. I like that. I've talked about control in the past, and that's why I dropped Sculpture Stories, because I didn't have complete control over it. So that's part of me. That's that need for control. That works. I use that when I draw. My process of constantly refining and erasing and refining and erasing and refining. That's part of my process. I use who I am as part of my process. And that control and that intensity inside, these are my fuel and my process. So use whatever you have inside. I don't know what it is. Whatever you have inside, use that to influence your style. I think that people sit down to draw and they want it to look a certain way, when they should be, I don't know about should, but I'll say should. They get paralyzed. They sit down to draw and it's like, I want to draw this thing and I want it to be really good or whatever. And they get stuck. Where if they just sit down and they were like, all right, I'm feeling like poop today, or I feel like fighting somebody, I'm going to let that anger and that intensity out on the paper. That's your starting point. Not the end result is your starting point, but the starting point is how you feel. I think people would get rid of their artist block pretty quickly. So yeah, use your emotion, let it influence your style and your process, or switch up your style as a way to change your feelings and thoughts. So art, art therapy is a thing. This is what I'm recommending here isn't art therapy, but I don't know why I brought that up because I don't. Yeah, whatever. So we could use art and the process as a way to really challenge ourselves and to grow, to change the way we think and feel. This is something I've been doing for myself. But if as an example, if you draw fast or if you draw really fast, slow down. You will have a different experience. If your drawing fast is a symptom of some sort of emotional problem, like draw slower and you'll notice that you will feel uncomfortable or anxiety or you'll feel pressure or whatever, I don't know. Or if you're one of those people that draws hairy, like you do little wrist flicks rather than smooth lines. That hairy look is an insecurity thing, in my opinion. It's doubt. All those little, it's like you're too afraid to make a big sweeping motion, so you do these little ones, like oh, like I'll do a little bit of time, a little bit of time, a little bit of time. So if you're one of those people that draws hairy, challenge yourself to switch it up. Do larger motions where your pencil doesn't leave the paper or your stylus doesn't leave the screen. Switch it up, do something different. And you'll notice these things, these new things will pop in your mind. You'll feel, like I said, you'll feel uncomfortable. You might feel a little bit anxious. You might feel some pressure, but you'll probably notice that there will be these new thoughts that pop into your head, or maybe old thoughts. If you're drawing in one motion and not lifting your pencil when you're used to doing little flicks, you might say, like, this sucks, this is horrible, I'm doing a terrible job, I hate this. All these thoughts are going to pop into your mind. You need to power through these. This is your opportunity for growth. That these thoughts that pop into your mind or these feelings are attempting to keep you where you're at. They're attempting to keep you in that insecure place. So if you can power through those, that's how I do. I power through it. But you might want to do baby steps. That's fine. Whatever. For me, it just works to kind of power through things. Because I don't like those thoughts. You know what I mean? I don't like it. So I do the best I can to eliminate those. But yeah, those when those thoughts and those feelings pop up, what your brain and your body are attempting to do is to prevent you from doing anything that is new and scary. And I know it's just drawing. I know it seems silly, but I think this will click with some of you that are listening. But it's like it might be scary to do something new and to even show it on Instagram or wherever. But this is my key, my path to growth is by doing things and then showing or trying something new and then putting it out there like I'm doing right now. This is me doing something new. The mental health stuff, I'm just doing it. Lots of thoughts in my head before, and I'm sure there'll be after, but I'm just kind of powering through it. So anyhow, that's how I do it. I power through things. So as these things come up, power through it. And the reason why I want you to do this is because it will get better. As you expose yourself to these thoughts and these feelings and face them by doing things that are uncomfortable, it will get better. You will survive it. You'll come out on the other end of this without any bumps or bruises or broken bones. You will be okay. So force your way through those things. That's what I recommend. Or do a little bit at a time. And if posting it online is something that's terrifying for you, I say just do it. But if you can't, if that's like intolerable, like you really know that you'll die or something if you do that, then do baby steps and draw it and then DM it to me. That but that's a step forward, or DM it to your mom or whoever that won't make fun of you. Like I'm not gonna make fun of you. I will give you an attaboy or attagirl girl and encourage you. As best I can. But it's a baby step. If that's what you need to do, then do it. You know what I mean? But what you're doing is you're trying something new or drawing in a new way. You're getting out of your old process that may not be helpful or that you may be stuck in, and try on a new process and just know that you'll be okay on the other end of things. It might not feel safe, but it's doable. It'll become safe. You'll become okay. But this is a great way to train your mind and body to build confidence and to build in safety. And I think if you go into a drawing, let's bring it back to where we started. If you go into a drawing from your depression, or from your, let's say from your depression, and you let that fuel your drawing, you know, your normal result might be something that you don't finish and that you throw away. But what I'm recommending is don't do it the normal way. So if you do it, if your normal way is to not finish it and to do it hairy and then to throw it away, I would say, okay, draw faster. Give yourself a time limit. When the time limit is up, it's done. You've completed it. And DM it to me or put it on Instagram. That way you're sharing it and it's not just thrown away. All right. So that hopefully that makes sense. Do something new, do something different, and grow and build your confidence. I know it might be scary, but it'll be okay. It'll be okay on the other end of things. The other thing I wanna like let you guys, just a little tip here, is breathe into your belly when you're drawing. Breathe into your belly. I know it sounds weird. This was the coping skill in Astro Pig, which is for sale on Comic Central for $3. But it was he taught this giant how to breathe into his belly and to calm down. So when you're doing things differently, or about to do something new, or something that's causing you some anxiety or whatever, or when you're feeling depressed or you're feeling crummy, or I don't care, whatever it is, breathe into your belly, not your chest, not your shoulders. You want to breathe into your belly. So the reason for this is a evolutionary kind of thing. This goes way deep, right? But I'll cover it pretty quickly here. Basically, imagine you're running away from a tiger. When you're running away from a tiger, you're going to be taking very short breaths into your lungs, into your chest, or into your shoulders. Like, notice how you're breathing, and where does the air go? What moves when you breathe? When we sprint, it's going to be up top. It's going to be higher. When we relax, it's down below in our belly. So day to day, moment to moment, when you're driving to work or you're in the car or the bus going to school, think about where you're breathing. If you're breathing in your chest and up in your shoulders, you know, like on YouTube, you can see me doing it, like you know what I mean, like it's moving. Then you're stressed out or you're anxious or you're tense, or you're dreading something or you're nervous or whatever. Slow down. Like you're probably not in any actual danger, unless you're on like a bus in Stockton or something like that where I live. For the most part, you're probably safe. There's no tiger chasing you. So be conscious of that and breathe into your belly. That way, what it does is it tricks your body into feeling safe. If you have an anxiety problem, to make a big effort to breathe into your belly, because we can't breathe into our belly unless we're safe. And what happened? And then to also take deep breath into your nose, through your nose into your belly, right? And I want you to breathe it out your mouth as slow as you possibly can. Just blow it out as slow as you possibly can. And the reason again for this is because when you're running away from a lion, you can't do that. It's very short, rapid breaths. You can't breathe out slowly. So when you do that, you're telling yourself you're safe. You're tricking your body, or you're reminding your body that you're safe. So do that for me while you draw, or randomly if these are issues for you. I think safety, I have found that safety, and relationships are a big part of mental health and depression and trauma and anxiety. So those are my recommendations. I hope those help. I'd be really curious if you do these. DM me and let me know. I'm really curious what you think about this stuff. I have another topic here as well. This is kind of a topic-heavy episode, I think. Changes for me with some goals here, I think. I'm just in thinking mode, but I'm pretty darn sure. So first off, Little Red is basically done. I have a couple more speech bubbles to do. So I'm already, I'm asking myself, what's the next project? I've been asking myself that, but now it's definitely time to start thinking about the next thing. What's the next goal? So in my life, again, there's been two paths for me. One is the mental health career, and the other one is my art passion. The career has some really interesting possibilities coming up for me in the near future that I could pursue. Nothing groundbreaking, but there's some interesting opportunities coming up for me to meet some key, I think some pretty key people, get my name out there at a professional level, build my reputation, my therapy reputation, and honestly, I mean, just really kind of position myself as an expert in a certain area. So that's interesting, right? And then with art, I think it's always some interesting things going on here. I think I'm emerging as something. The podcast thing is emerging. It's been consistently growing. And I feel like with both of these aspects of my life, that there will be a point where it kind of blows up, especially with art. I think, and there'll be a point where it just blows up. I think that's my goal. That's my goals. I think that's what's gonna happen. Not just with my drawing art, but like the podcast and everything. I think it'll blow up at some point. There's just too many super nice people out there that are chipping in at this point and sharing and you know what I mean? So I think it's snowballing, but it hasn't gotten to that point where it's like a snowball down a mountain, but I think it will be. So I'm artistically and therapeutically, I think I'm at an interesting point where things could really get more interesting, I guess. I'll keep it very general. But I can't let go of art. I can't. And I won't. It is such a part of me and my sanity. I need to be creating and drawing. I have to. So if I were to stop doing this, if I were to drop the podcast and drop drawing and put all my time into the psychology stuff, oh man, I think I'd just be kicking ass. But I just can't. Like I'm just so passionate about drawing. So artistically, and at this, oh, I'm sorry, I'm skipping ahead of my outline here. Sorry. See, I can't let go of art. So, what does this mean? I don't know. I guess I just wanted you to know that. But I was thinking about what I'm doing on Instagram and YouTube and whatever else. You guys know haven't had a super clear goal. I don't really have a super clear goal either. But what was it, today or yesterday? It kind of hit me that I just want to be the best. Like that, I don't. There's no clear objective measure for that. But I want to be the best. I just want to be the best artist on Instagram. Is that full of myself? No, because I'm not the best artist on Instagram. But I want to be the best artist on Instagram. I want people to think of me immediately. I want people to think of my podcast as immediately, like, this is the best thing I'm listening to. This brings me the most value, period. Or is the most relatable. That's just where that popped in my head. I'm like, yeah, that feels right. I'm a pretty competitive person, and I just want to be the best. So art, and this means artistically, I want to be the best artist. I don't know what that means. I don't think it's possible. But in my mind, I just want to be better than the next person. And at the social part of Instagram, I want to be the best. I want to bring the most value and have the highest amount of engagement, have the best relationships with my incredible followers. But also, as a therapist, I want to be the best. And I don't think that's okay to say. Other therapists, well, there's no other therapists that listen to this, I don't think. But typically, therapists don't look at this as a competition, but I have. I always have. And this really motivates me to constantly do better. I am one of the few therapists that keeps, I'll say keeps stats. Like I keep track of successes. I keep track of, I have stats. I don't know how to put it. Cause it's the kind of thing that's brand new to you guys, but I keep track of when people do well or drop out of therapy or when they request a new therapist. Not that I'm being fired, but they might want a female therapist. I've had a couple people fire me for whatever reasons. I'm not doing anything bad. Trust me, please. Trust me. But I keep track of that stuff. I want to know. And because I want to be better than myself primarily. But I also like to know, I don't know, I like to rank myself. I like to know how I'm doing, you know? And I think it applies to me artistically as well, as I want to know at least objectively where I'm at. But I don't know. The point is, I want to be the best in all areas of my life, career, art. So, but that's not possible. I'm not going to be able to do it. I want you guys to think of Justin Prime as the gold standard in Instagram art. That's my goal. But as I can't right now because I'm not good enough. So my goal, that's my goal. Right now I'm not there at all. I know I'm not there. And I think a big part of this is because I have not put the love and the time into my fundamentals. This is something that I've commented on numerous times, just not being willing to, or being bored by working on perspective stuff. But this is the biggest vulnerability, as Gary Vee would say, that I have right now. It's a weakness of mine. It's something that will prevent me from getting to where I need to be or where I want to be. It will also be an obstacle toward future opportunities, I think. So up until this moment, I've been drawing based on interests and what I want to do, and there's nothing wrong with that at all. But now it might be time, it is time, to start working on the things that might not be fun for me, because I know it's important to. Just in general, it's important to, but I don't want this to be an issue in the future. And I don't know why it would. But if Stan Lee were to call me and say he wanted me to draw Spider-Man, I'd probably say yes. But then he'd look at my stuff and he'd be like, you don't do perspective. You just draw trees a lot. And I'd have to say, no, you're right, Stanley, I don't. And then I would lose that opportunity. So I think as an investment in myself and any possible future art stuff, I think it's time to start taking that more seriously. So I think after Little Red is done, I need to start working on myself and my art skills so I get to that, my goal of being the best and being able to hang with anyone. But also just for that, you know, what if something pumps up? What if Stan Lee does call me? I know that's not how it works, but in my mind it does. So yeah, the fundamentals thing, I haven't been able to shake this. I'm not there. It is not good enough at all. And these are things that I should be mastering. I think I have the skill to it, but I haven't had the patience to put the work in or the interest. And now it's just like, well, I feel like I have to, I should. That's just where I'm at. So that's the next goal, I think, is after a Little Red, that's what I'll be doing. I gotta get ready for that Stan Lee call. Like, you know, at this point, I mean, even like the stuff I've been doing, Little Red, I did Sculpture Stories, I did Astro Pig. And these were all based on things that I like to draw. It was tailored entirely toward my positives, my strengths. But even then, there were things that I'm getting stuck on, like posing. More interesting angles have been big block for me. I think I've done well with them, but well, you know, drawing an interesting or even a dynamic pose from a different extreme angle, that's I'm not good at that. It's a big struggle. Backgrounds are a big struggle for me. Things kind of tend to be pretty flat, not very dynamic. So, I shouldn't be struggling with that stuff. This is stuff I should have down. So even if, you know, yeah, I need to have posing down. I need to have different angles down. I should have backgrounds down. But posing and angles and drawing, like I have a hard time drawing underneath the jaw, like the chin, you know, like that's ridiculous. I should have this down by now, but I basically have to relearn it every time. So yeah, it's definitely time to grow more, just to take it more seriously and to grow more, so I can get ready for Stanley when he calls me. So my goals this past week, past handful of weeks, have been to, actually for a while now, to create comics. To build a network slash community. Excuse me. To grow in every way, including fan and follower base and skill level. All right, so did I create comics this week? Yeah, I did. Little Red is nearly done. All of my art time went into refining, doing the final touches on Little Red, and including the speech bubbles and whatnot. So yeah, that was it. And I didn't have much to share at all as far as that, 'cause it's just like small tweaks. Yeah. So Instagram kind of suffered this past week for that. What could I have done better? You know, again, fundamentals, fundamentals, fundamentals. If I had better fundamentals, I think the comic progress would have been smoother. I feel like the result could have been stronger. I think with Little Red, it's only 9 pages, but there's a lot of stuff that I think art was kind of a miss. There's a lot of stuff I think was a hit that I'm really proud of, but this one is it's a good mix of, you know, like, you know, I could have done that better or whatever. I really feel kind of like a lot more judgmental about Little Red than I have in the past, and I'm really kind of beating myself up, like, you know, I should be farther along at this point. I should be able to execute at a higher level faster. But I'm not. So, did I build a network or community? Yes, I did. I think so. And it's just more of the same. Stories are going well. The Discord community is going well. DMs are going well. Like all that stuff, all that relationship building stuff is going really well. Nope. You know, I'm good. This week I did something I thought was really interesting, which was story shaming. Hashtag story shaming. If you look up the hashtag, nothing comes up. But I hunted down. So last week I asked people, "Do you listen to the podcast? Yes or no?" And you guys thought it was just because I was curious, right? But I'm like, I want to know who listens to my podcast so I can, you know, target them a little bit more and find out who's slipping on the comment sections. So, I asked who follows the podcast, got all my yeses. I looked at my list of yeses, and these are the people that I targeted, and I looked through the last three posts on their Instagram feeds, and gave out some kudos if you were responding to all your comments, and did a little bit of shaming if you weren't responding to all your comments. But it was all in good fun. People enjoyed it. Lesson learned. And I want to find more opportunities to. That I think that made the podcast very real for the listeners and really incorporated them in a very fun way. So I'd like to keep doing stuff like that. We'll see if the opportunity pops up. So did I build a network community? Also, no. The feed posts were down this week. I think I had three, maybe four. I think there were two in one day, and they were all reposts, and that pissed me off. About I just didn't feel good about that this week. I felt like I was cheating. And I wrote that. I basically wrote that and got some interesting comments from people, including Black Fly Press, who pointed out like it's just a mindset thing because there's nothing wrong with reposting stuff. It is good for people who are newer followers, who aren't going to go through all my posts looking for, you know, what I've done in the past. So, Yeah, he's right. I mean, if I had gone into this week, other y'all, sorry guys, if I had gone into this week and just said, all right, look, I know I'm tidying up a little red and I should be working on that, but what I'll do is just dedicate this whole week as like a flashback week or a throwback week or a way back week, then I would have felt fine about it. It's just a mindset thing. It's just a mindset thing, because if I had said, hey, this is throwback week, and then posted a, you know, a favorite from years past every day of the week, I would have felt fine about it. So that's my own issue. I also could have just sketched for 5 minutes a day. I could have done that. I could have done that. I didn't think about it. I didn't think about it. And I realized that a weakness of mine here is I tend to think about what's the next piece, the whole thing that I'm going to draw, instead of like, here's, you know, just like sketch something out, practice. And maybe I should start thinking about daily exercises, daily fast exercises, especially because I want to grow in fundamentals. I can do 5 minutes a day, even if that means sacrificing 5 minutes of sleep. But I can do 5 minutes a day of a brief sketch that I can share to my feed. I don't want to neglect my feed at all. So did I grow this week? I'm gonna say no, but I need to. Fundamentals need to be my focus. I need to grow. As a therapist, I'm at a point where I'm really focusing on my growth as a therapist, and really learning some really interesting stuff, especially about trauma. And as a you know, artist, I have to grow. And I feel like I've kind of flatlined. So what could I have done better this week? Obviously, fundamentals, fundamentals, fundamentals. All right, so last week, the last five, the Lab 5 weekly challenge was to do a mustache bomb. And my mustache bomb bombed. I attempted to do a Benamized Monopoly Man, and that did not go well. It sucked. So I let it go. I put some time into it. It wasn't working, and it's not something I wanted to dedicate more time to. So I put in my stories, and it was trash. It was really trash. So I was excited about the mustache thing, and I'm sorry that I failed miserably. All right, so let's hear what the Lab 5 weekly challenge is for this week.
What's up, J Prime Cast? It's Luke here with this week's Lab 5 Weekly Challenge. This week's going to be pretty simple because we've got Discord members working on anthologies and projects at the moment. So, pretty much just share some anthology work, whether it's your own work or maybe do a swap and share someone else's part of the anthology work to get different eyes on it. And that's it. I think with it coming up, we should probably promote a little bit. Anyone outside of the Discord that's not into it, feel free to check out anything that's posted. Hashtag JPrimeCast. Check in there. If you see anything that's marked as anthology work, feel free to share it on your profiles as well, and get involved and try and support us on our little indie project. So that's about it. Just a bit of a basic social media one this week. Just showing what we're working on with anthology and sharing around as much as we can. That's it. Catch us all next week. Bye.
All right, Luke, thank you, buddy. Man, you're right. We really gotta, you know, really like look at the Primeology and our progress and start wrapping things up. It's due very, very soon. So I'll be doing the final touches on mine and definitely hyping it up. I want to point out Nithong, but Ned, I believe I've mentioned him at least once in the past. But he took part in last week's Lab 5 Weekly Challenge by doing a mustache on Astro Pig, as well as his own character. I want to say it's, I'm looking it up right now, it's the Maniacal Moustache, which is a moose. Perfect. I loved it. So thank you for taking part in the Lab 5 Weekly Challenge. It's nice to see someone who's not in the Discord community and just, you know, a listener taking part. So that was super cool, man. Thank you again for that. That's it. Oh, we actually, I'm sorry, that's not it. We got an Instagram tip. I almost wrapped this thing up. All right, so here's a different, little different here. Go way, way, way deep into your Instagram feed. If you have an account that's more than a few years old, you will know that Instagram didn't always used to have the hearts, I don't think. They didn't always used to have the reply thread. So it wasn't as easy to build, you know, have a conversation with people. Not that it is now. I mean, it's still kind of weird, but yeah, go way, way, way back, right? So you want to go back to those things that you posted before those features were available, because now those features are available on those old posts. So I think it's kind of interesting to go back years and thank someone for a comment they left, you know, 4 or 5 years ago. I think it's really interesting. And, you know, make a game out of it, make it fun somehow, because it, you know, it might take them by surprise. But it's like a positive, happy surprise. So that's kind of the game here. That's the fun of it, I think. So yeah, do that. I'm curious if you guys get any good reactions from that. Yeah, go away. That's it. That's super fast Instagram one. I'm glad that I feel like I've been focusing way too much on Instagram. So this one was nice and quick, but we had some heavier stuff at the beginning. It's a good little balance, right? Thank you guys so much for listening. I appreciate it. Catch you on episode 38.